series I've titled Membership Has Its Privileges. Some of you will recognize that saying as coming from a credit card company. But we're going to find out that membership does have its privileges, and it has nothing to do with getting in debt. Praise the Lord. I've been thinking about this sermon series for a while, and last week, those of you who were here saw Michael Conyer take the membership vows of our church, which go like this. Will you support the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And we all have taken those, and I think every now and then it does us good to remind ourselves, what exactly did we agree that we would do? And today we're going to talk about prayer. Our scripture comes to us from Philippians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you're more than welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen. As we read from Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to begin with verse 4 and read through verse 7. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember that the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word. And let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity we have once again to gather in this place as a community of faith to worship you. And we thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has worked through our gathering thus far. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to work. I especially pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts. That the words that you have for us today, Lord, they might penetrate our very being. And they might be more for us than just information. Lord, we are bombarded by information from almost every angle in our time. But Lord, we ask that your words would be more for us than just more information. But indeed, we ask that your words would transform us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer this morning saying, Amen. You know, you got to love children, and you got to love children and what they hear sometimes. There was a little girl one time who came home from church with her mother, and she was probably 5 or 6, and she came home, and she said, Mom, when did they figure out that God's name was Howard? When did they figure out that God's name was Howard? And she said, Honey, God's name is not Howard. She says, Oh, Mom, you know it is because every Sunday we say that prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name. Howard. It's all about listening, isn't it? It's all about listening and paying attention and listening to what is going on. And I think as we begin this series, as we talk today about prayer, probably one of the things that we least understand, I think, about prayer is how much we are to listen. How much prayer is really listening. You know, those of you who are in relationships, those of you who are married, understand that one of the most important things you can do with your spouse is communicate. And one of the most important pieces of communication is listening, right? I mean, it really is. And how many times do you hear this? You're not listening to me. You're not paying any attention to me. When I do premarital counseling with couples, we spend a long time talking about communication and the importance of listening. But you know, sometimes when we pray, it strikes me that what we do is we like to give God a bunch of instructions. We like to give God a to-do list. We like to say a lot of things to God, but we don't like to listen. And I imagine sometimes that God must feel like Kim does, if I were to do this to her. Honey, I need you to make sure that everything's taken care of in the house. And I really want something good to eat tonight. And honey, if it's really okay, could you take care of vacuuming the floor? And you know, we got a lot of things going on. And I just wish, honey, that you get all these things done for me. I love you. Bye. I don't know how that would work at your house, but I can tell you that would not work at my house. It would not work at my house. And why is that? Because nobody, when they're being communicated with, wants a to-do list. Nobody wants to be told all the time. And part of what we've got to do is we've got to listen. We've got to listen. And when I think about prayer, one of the things that I think about the most is how important it is for us to listen when we pray. And not just to give God all these things, but sometimes it's just about listening. In the passage I read to you from Philippians today, Paul writes this from prison. Some of you already know that. But he wrote this letter from prison, and it's amazing to me because if you read the whole book of Philippians, how joyful Paul is, how happy the book is. And I don't know if you know anything about prisons in our time. I've been in a few just visiting. Just visiting. Let me make that clear. It's kind of like Monopoly, right? Just visiting. But there's not a prison that I've ever been in that I ever thought, you know, I'd really like to stay here. I really wish they would allow me to just, you know, live here for a while with these fellas and see how it is. And I'm sure that Roman prisons were the same way, if they weren't probably worse than that. And it amazes me that Paul can write, rejoice. I say to you always, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And I think the reason that Paul could say that was because he understood that what we need to do and what he needed to do was stay close to God. And when you are close to God, and when you are in prayer, and you are in constant prayer with God, then you understand that your external circumstances just kind of fall away. And you're just not that important anymore. And the closer you get to God, the more you feel this, and the less that your circumstances really impact you. This is why I think the scripture says that, you know, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. And I don't know about you, but boy, I can get anxious. I mean, I can get really anxious and about some silly stuff. You know, I can get really anxious. But what I know about prayer is that what Paul says in Philippians is exactly right. The closer I stay to God, the more I'm in prayer with God, the more I communicate with God, and very important, the more I listen to God, the less anxiety that I have in my life. It just kind of goes away. It really starts to melt away the closer you are to God, because you understand that God is going to help you and that God is with you. One writer put it this way. He said, anxiety and prayer are like fire and water. Where one exists, the other cannot. Where one exists, the other cannot. You can't have fire and water together. And it's all about us being people of prayer. And there's no more important prayer, I think, than the prayer that we have when we gather together as a church, and the prayers that we have for each other and for the church. Now, when we take our membership vows, we say that we will support the church by our prayers. And honestly, I feel like prayer is like the fuel that the church runs on. It is the fuel that the church runs on. I don't know if you've ever run out of gas in your life, but I have a time or two. And one time, it's been about 15 years ago, I had just gotten a new car. And in my old car, I knew exactly the position, you know what I'm talking about, where you know, the light comes on, and that's a warning. But I knew exactly where the needle had to be on E that you would run out of gas. I knew. It was about two-thirds of the way up. And you were out. Well, thinking after I bought this new car that it was the same brand of car, I thought, well, it's kind of the same thing. So I was trucking down the interstate one day. The light comes on. And I said, you know, I'm almost home. What the heck? I'm almost there. So it'll be all right. And I was watching that needle, okay? And the needle gets right to where it touches the E. And about that time, the car starts to sputter. And I had to pull over to the side of the road. And I'm like 1 mile from the exit and the gas station. And I thought to myself, what is this? What is this, right? Thankfully, there was some nice guy who was behind me who offered to take me not only to the gas station where I was able to get some gas back to my car, but the thing I want you to get here is how important it is for your automobile to have fuel, because if you don't have fuel, guess what? You're not going to go. And if we're not praying for each other, and if we're not praying for the church, then the church can't do what it needs to do. Prayer is the fuel. This is why this is in our membership vows, that you'll support the church by our prayers, because it is the fuel that the church runs on, literally. And you can tell, I think, when you come into a church, if that church is a church that understands that prayer is the fuel they run on, or if that church thinks that prayer is something that we do on Sunday, and, you know, that's kind of it. Because there really is more than one way to think about this. I mean, some churches think, well, you know, prayer is just kind of the afterthought. But in our membership vows, the reason that prayer is listed is because it is so vitally important for us. And I've thought to myself many times that I wanted to make sure that the church, our church, was such a place of prayer, that the Spirit was so strong because there was so much prayer going on, that people would be driving down the road, and these people might not even be followers of Jesus. They might be people who didn't even go to church, and they go, wow, something's happening over in that white building. Whew, do you feel that? Do you feel that? And I can't tell you how many times in my ministry I've had people who have said, you know, I kept driving by this church, driving by this church, driving by this church, and something drew me to it. Something drew me to it. Well, that something is the continued prayers, our prayers. It's the fuel that the church runs on. And this is why that happens. And it works. You know, Jack Brockelman told me a story that happened to them this morning in Cuba. And he said every morning when they got to the job site in Cuba, they would have a time of prayer. That's how they started. And there were a couple of Cubans that were there to help. But the first day that they were there, they said, you know, we're not Christians and we're not going to participate in the prayer. We're just going to kind of stand over here to the side. And Jack and the group said, okay. And they went ahead with their prayer. But then the next day, when they gathered around for prayer, these Cuban folks came up and said, you know, we think we'll be a part of the prayer. It's okay. And you know what I think that is? I think that they're like, they get sucked in, right? It's the power. It's the very power of the presence of the Spirit of God. And pretty soon, it's unavoidable. You've got to be a part of that. You want to be a part of that, and you're going to be a part of that. And it's fascinating to me, this idea of prayer being the fuel, the literally the energy that we have. You know, sometimes when we talk about prayer, some people say, well, I'm just not a good prayer. Oh, baloney. Baloney. Can you talk? Yeah. If you can talk, then you can pray. If you can talk, you can pray. You know, sometimes we worry about the right words and saying the right words, and people will say, well, I'm just not eloquent. Well, you know what? God is not impressed by eloquence. The Creator who created your vocal cords and the way that you speak in your brain and how that works, He's not impressed by that. What He's impressed by is the fact that you're trying to communicate with Him. That's what's most important, the fact that you communicate. So I'm not sure that words are all that important. You know, sometimes we have to have words to help us. I know sometimes in my own prayer life I get stuck, and I don't really have words. And that's when I have to say things like the Lord's Prayer or the Jesus Prayer, a prayer that says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You'll remember that from the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector that Jesus told. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And sometimes, y'all, all I can get out is, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And I don't think that it's so important how we pray or what we say. The important thing is the fact that we communicate with God. And again, as I said earlier, that we listen to God. You know, it's important that we listen and that we're paying attention to what God might be saying. When I was on leave last year, I went to a prayer retreat to start my leave, and it was about contemplative prayer. And I'd kind of looked up contemplative prayer, and I thought I knew what it was about. And the deal with contemplative prayer is that you spend 20 minutes at a time just focusing on God, not saying anything, not praying in the sense that we understand praying, but you just kind of try to stay close to God. Well, the first part of the problem I had with this was the quiet part. I know that surprises some of you, but I was like, really? We're just going to you're just going to sit here for 20 minutes? And I thought to myself, well, 20 minutes, that's not very long. That won't be a problem. I remember the first time that we did this, I pulled my cell phone out of my pocket because I thought, man, they've let us sit here for 30 minutes, and it had been three, which tells me how difficult it is for us to shut our own minds down and just be present with God and let God be present with us. Because you see, I think sometimes we think, well, we've got to have the words, we've got to do this. And sometimes we want to pray for people, and we should. We should intercede for people, for the world, for the church. But sometimes what God wants from us, most of all out of prayer, is God just wants us to be with Him for a little while. God just wants us to be present with Him. That's all God wants. You know, it reminds me of when my children were little, and a lot of times, I'd be watching TV or I'd be reading or something, and they just crawl up in your lap. And they didn't really want anything. They just wanted to be close to you. They wanted to be close to your heart. And they just crawl up and they just lay there, and it didn't matter what you were doing. It didn't matter what they were doing, really. They just wanted to be close to you. And I think sometimes we mistake prayer because we think that prayer has to be all of this, you know, words, and we have to say the right thing, we have to be in the right frame of mind, when most of the time what God wants most from us is just to stop and be with Him for a while. And what I know about prayer is that when I am close to God, when I can shut things off and really be close to God, then I find out that Paul's right. I don't have to be anxious anymore. The anxiety, When you're staying close to God, the anxiety just kind of melts away. It just kind of goes away. It's not there anymore. And it's because we have intentionally decided to spend some time with God, which that, if I had to define prayer, that's how I'd define it. It's intentionally spending time with God. Now, I want to tell you, people, we have got to be a church that is in prayer. We've got to be a church that's in prayer, and we've got to pray for each other, and we've got to pray for the mission of the church, because the more we pray, the more we're going to see God work. It's the way it works. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't understand how prayer works. Well, I don't either, but I don't understand how the electricity really works. I suppose I could, you know, somehow figure out about the electrons and all that and how they move through the wires and all that, but you know what I like? I like the fact that when I flip the switch, the light comes on. That's enough. That's what I need to know. And it's interesting to me that sometimes when we pray, we find out that there are these strange coincidences that happen, but then when we stop praying, the coincidences also stop. We pray, amazing things happen. We don't pray, amazing things don't happen. And it's all about keeping yourself close to God. There's another great verse in the Bible that I want to share with you. It comes from the book of James about prayer. And it says this: the earnest prayer, this is James chapter 5, verse 16, by the way, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So you see, it's really important for us to pray for each other, to pray for the church, because, you know, when we do, we get to do things that we wouldn't normally get to do. You know, I've been in Cuba for the past 2 weeks. Did you know that? You didn't know I was in Cuba? Every morning I was in Cuba because I was praying for the people in Cuba. So every morning I got to be there. General Conference, the conference of the United Methodist Church, is currently meeting in Tampa, Florida. I'm at General Conference. Matter of fact, I've been at General Conference quite a bit since it started last week. Every time I pray for General Conference, I get to be a part of that. And it's interesting to me that when we start to pray, and specifically when we start to pray for each other and when we start to pray for the church, it's interesting to me that we get to be part of things that we wouldn't normally get to be a part of. You know? And I have no doubt that probably some of the exciting things that we're going to hear that happened on this Cuba mission trip are probably because we prayed for those guys while they were gone. Some of the good things that are going to come out of General Conference, I have no doubt that is going to be because we are praying. So the big message here, I think, is we just need to be people who pray. And folks, I really don't think God is all hung up on how we pray and what we do and what our prayers look like. You know, I heard a story about a man who had gone to a church to preach at the church, and he was visiting the church. And when it got to the point that they were going to say the Lord's Prayer, the church got up, turned around, and faced the back of the sanctuary as they said the Lord's Prayer. And when they got through, they turned around and they sat down. Well, the guy was really impressed with this, and he asked somebody, he said, What's that about? Why, you know, that's impressive that the church would get up and turn around. Were they trying to pray to the world? And the guy said, oh, no. He said, before we remodeled the sanctuary, we used to have the Lord's Prayer printed. We had it painted on the wall. And then when we remodeled the sanctuary, we flipped it around. And people are just used to turning around and saying the prayer that way, so they keep on doing it. You see, y'all, I don't think God is all hung up on how things happen. But what I know is that God wants us to communicate with Him. God created us to be in communication with Him. And God wants us, the Bible says, to be in constant communication with Him. Not just when it feels good, not just in the morning, not just at night before we go to bed, but in constant communication with Him. And if we will take this vow seriously to support the church with our prayers, we're going to find out that something exciting is going to happen. Because we are going to have more fuel in this place than we would ever imagine. And the more that we ask God to work, the more that God works. The closer we stay to God, the more God pours out His Spirit, His peace. That's what Paul said. His peace that passes all understanding, that makes no sense. You can have this peace when everybody else around you is going crazy. When you will stay in prayer, when you will pray, when you will speak and listen to God, and you will find out that you will have this peace too. So may we be a people of prayer. May we pray for each other. You know, we have a big, long prayer list that we insert every Sunday in the bulletin. And I don't know how many of you ever take it out and look at it. And I got to confess, sometimes I don't because I feel like I know all the names. But, you know, some of the best prayer times I've ever had is when I just pulled that sheet out and I just prayed for each person. Some of those people I knew and I could imagine what they were going through, or I knew what they were going through, but some of them I didn't. And it was all about just being willing to pray for each other, to pray for the church, and to pray for me. I'm going to tell you, if you all didn't pray for me, I couldn't get up here and do what I do. I know it. I could not get up here and do what I do on Sunday morning without prayer. Because I was the guy years ago when I worked for Kroger, we had to do a business plan presentation every year. Every year we had to do this business plan presentation before the president and the vice president and all these people in the company. And I was the guy that was in the bathroom yakking before I had to speak in public. I just didn't want to do it. And I was like, and even now on Sunday morning, sometimes I get up and I'm like this, but I start to feel the presence and the power of your prayers. And I know that's the fuel that gets me through. So may we be people of prayer, and may we not take prayer lightly. Y'all, sometimes I think we take prayer lightly. It's just something that we do. It gets to be rote. It's like the people who stood up and turned around in the sanctuary. It's what they had always done. And sometimes that's why I don't say the Lord's Prayer for a while. Because it's gotten so familiar and it just becomes words. And I don't think that's what God wants from us, indeed. But what I know is that God wants us to pray. God wants us to be people of prayer. And that prayer has power if we will engage in it. So may we be people who understand that the power of prayer is real. The power of prayer comes whether or not we think we're praying the right way or not. God is not really interested in that. What God wants is to be connected with us more than anything. And when we pray and we get connected to God, we'll find out, just like Paul said, that the cares of the world, the anxiety, some of that stuff will fall away. And the closer that we are to God, we'll find out that we can have that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that makes no sense. And not only that, the more we pray, when we pray for the church and we pray for each other and this place becomes a house of prayer, then pretty soon it's going to be glowing and there's going to be people driving down Cajun's Bend Road and all of a sudden they're just going to turn in the parking lot. It'll happen. I'm telling you, it will. Because they'll say, something drew me here. Something drew me here. And what draws them is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit works the best when we open ourselves up to God in prayer. So may we be people who keep our membership vows and who pray for each other and for the church and for the world, and know that prayer is the fuel that the church runs on. And never forget, we need that fuel to keep us going. Amen. Yeah.